So while we were able to come up with civil rights, that might have been an easier thing than to correct what you're just now talking about in some respects.
In some respects, I think so. I think there's going to be leadership that has to be, you would think, just as the civil rights was turned around because of moral force, you would think that that would emanate from the Black church itself. Not so. Now, there are some ministries that are built on turning around. The Muslims are noted for taking people from the dredges of society. There are some Protestant faiths within the community that are taking people who have been hopeless and brought hope to them through the ministry of Christ. But there's still a prevalent view, though, I might add, among some people that regard ministers, and I won't just say Black ministers, but I remember a community activist who is now deceased referred to them as ecclesiastical pimps, people who trade on the name of Christ and live large lives as a result. There are those that are there that many people have a disdain for and therefore turn their backs on. And I don't know whether that is a thing that keeps people away. It just may be a generational thing when people, as they grow in experience, they recognize that those things that they sought when they were young are no longer important.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that.
You know, you've done so many great things. You're still young, 72. You have many more years to accomplish things, but great things in our community. Do you ever think about the fact that as I look at your missing arm and that accident that you described earlier, your life could easily have been taken at that time? Correct. There was no question about that, that you were allowed to live to accomplish what you've done, and you must be grateful about that.
I'm certainly grateful. My mom, again, one of those principles, God saved her life for a purpose. I must tell you, sometimes I still try to ferret out what that purpose is. You know, purpose, very definitive in the life of King, in the life of Winston Churchill. These are men that come to my mind, the life of Christ. These people, during their lifetime, came to grips with their purpose. Churchill turned to his wife, Clemmy, on the eve of his ascendancy to the prime ministership. The backdrop of his father reportedly didn't think he'd be worth 2 cents. But he turns to Clemmy and he says, "Clemmy, for this moment, I was born." Now, this portly guy rallies our nation against a terrible enemy, Nazi Germany. "For this moment, I was born to recognize that. Dr. King, I've been to the mountain. I've seen the promised land. I mean, I'd live to get there, but I'm ready. You know, I've achieved my purpose." Christ saying, "My hour has not yet come." Recognizing the purpose for which he was born. I must tell you that I don't have such a single revelation in my own life. I'm glad to be alive, and my life has been one that I thrive on being able to be of service to other people. That, to me, is important. It doesn't yield dollars, you know, necessarily, but it gives me a satisfaction. Again, you know, these are perhaps moral judgments. You have to be somewhat leery sometimes of trying to make moral judgments. Therefore, I'm very cautious about it, but somehow people can feel so right about things, be so wrong, you know. One of the greatest conversations, I think, in the history of man is the conversation that Christ has with Peter. Christ says to Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter, not liking to be wrong, says, "Well, some say that you're Isaiah, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say you're a great prophet." He thought he'd cover the waterfront. Christ says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" He says, "Well, you're the Son of the living God." Well, even at that moment, he really didn't know who Christ was, because moments thereafter, Christ says to him, puts him to the test, "In a few days, I'm going to die." And of course, Peter said, "No, I won't let that happen." I'm paraphrasing. And the moment he says that, Christ says, "Get behind me, Satan." Just a moment ago, you said, you know, "But in this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now you're calling me Satan? I mean, come on, give me a break here. Well, at that moment, Peter did not know Christ's purpose. Because Christ is saying, "Look," and I'm paraphrasing all of this, "you know, you got your priorities mixed up. You're thinking that you can get me out of this dilemma, this test I'm going to go through. If I don't die, you can't live. You're stopping my purpose. You're stopping my purpose." And then, of course, Peter says, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" He says, "Stop relying on yourself. Deny yourself. You pick up your cross, whatever it is, whatever adversity you have, and you follow me." And in a sense, that sense of purpose, these examples I've given you, I even now don't know. At age 72, you know, don't know. I just know that I've got a tool to live with, to earn a living by, the paper and my practice. And I try to extend my talents, what I do have, in ridding what I consider to be wrongs. Sometimes successful, sometimes unsuccessful, and always with a sense of, but by the grace of God, who I, you know. My wife used to say, the world will no longer remember whether you do or die. Dick Hughes, who passed away a few years ago, who was a young man, he and his brother, both who are now deceased, owned Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company. As a young man, was advisor to four presidents. He said to us in this group, you measure a man's success by the impact he's had on his peers, on his children, and his grandchildren. That's about the measurement you can give to anyone's life. That's, to his way of thinking, a success. And he was a man who, in a sense, had great successes. And yet he also was penniless and then came back, would tell us, quote Job, even though you slay me, I would trust in thee. I mean, that was kind of an attitude. And that overall is the kind of thing, tattered though I am, you know. I was talking this morning with a group. You cannot earn your way to heaven. That's a gift of God. That's grace. But I made the comment. I said, well, you can sure earn your way to hell. You know, your acts may not get you to heaven, but your acts can sure get you to hell. And I said, that's a kind of anomaly here. Supposedly your deeds don't give you merit to salvation, but you sure can get on this bad side. Right. That's what you do.
Well, you're living your purpose, and there's no question about the moral compass you were given years ago is helping you in the areas of law and newspaper and righting wrongs. And I want to thank you so much for what you've taught us here today. Yes, taught us. And for those younger generations who will be coming on to listen to this now, they will draw many things from your words, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.